There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
And away we go, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along. Next couple hours of live local talk with you. Phone number and the text line, 343-0106. 343-0106 gets you through. And also, if you have the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can use that to leave us a talkback message. Lots to do here. Talk about this, first of all. So Dalton and I were down at the Mobile Convention Center today getting the first load in of our gear and our goodies for the Mobile Boat Show. Be down there Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Mobile Boat Show, so make sure you stop on by and see us. I was looking at some of the boats in there. They don't have everything in there yet, but I mean some, oh man, eye candy. You like fiberglass? I like fiberglass, and it's on display at the boat show. So, but also... Heads up, if you hadn't heard, and we'll do an interview tomorrow with a man who had his life saved by an EPIRB. And something that Mike Ward and I talk about on the Outdoor Show a lot, but it's something I carry in my boat. Actually, I carry that and a thing called a Garmin InReach. These are two ways to let, if the boat goes down, to let the Coast Guard know not only that you're going down, but where you are to be able to track you. And this young man had his life saved by it last year. He's going to join me on the show tomorrow to talk about it. But in addition, we're giving one of these away during the Mobile Boat Show. So I'll give you details on that as well. All right. And coming up later on the show, he was once the police chief of Mobile. Now he's candidate for mayor. Paul Prine joins us in the 1 o'clock hour. Plus, we have Erica Thomas on the way, Mike Bunn, and a whole lot more. My leadoff batter and my friend Cameron Smith joining us now with lots to talk about. A man of print. You can read his work in the Tennessean. Of course, you can see the movie, The Ballad of Davy Crockett. And you know what, Cameron, I want to ask you this. I mean, you got an English last name, so this may not go far, but it is St. Patrick's Day coming up, what is it, Sunday or Monday or something like that. I see on the monitor here, Trump is talking with the Irish Prime Minister. I don't care if it's Democrat or Republican. There's like one time a year they drag the person from Ireland in. It's around St. Patrick's Day. You notice that?
Oh, yeah. I'm just hoping that he's trying not to repatriate Rosie O'Donnell. As long as he's not doing that, we're good.
See, I saw the Rosie O'Donnell thing. So she's moved to Ireland, I'm sure in a quaint cottage somewhere in Galway. But she's going to try to get Irish citizenship, she said, because she has Irish grandparents. So do I. Does she get dual citizenship then?
You know, I'm pretty sure that she's going to get deported. I mean, we're deporting everybody right now. So I don't think that's in the cards for old Rosie. She needs to pick.
Yeah, if y'all hadn't seen that, we may talk about that later. Rosie has gone. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if she gets... I think Ireland kicks her out, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, I did the 23andMe, and I looked at where my people had come over. They were in the UK and Ireland and that area, and we made it as far as the South, and we have not gone anywhere since. That's what it looks like. So now I know.
And now you get a daily email from Ancestry or 23andMe going, hey, we have another hit. Sign up here and get the premium deluxe and pay us some more money, and we'll tell you who that is.
Yeah, I already know. It's another redneck because that's what happened. So that's how it works.
Cameron, I wrote this after I read your piece in the Tennessean. And this is heartfelt. If I was a better writer, this is the column I would have written. Well done, Cameron. This is really well done.
Well, I appreciate that, Sean. That means a lot coming from you. I just got mad because I've watched one Democrat after another tell me that the chainsaw approach just, it's just wrong. It's reckless. Where it is, it's too much. Okay. Well, tell me what the other approach is
Bingo.
That has worked in my lifetime.
Hallelujah.
And the answer is none. It just hasn't. That we briefly, I know a lot of conservatives don't like Paul Ryan, but we had, in his tenure, we had, I believe it was the Wyden-Gregg. There was some attempt at, hey, discretionary spending cuts, or we do this thing called the sequester, and we cut it across the board. That worked for a little bit, and then it went away. So we really haven't had a material reduction in the federal government, really, since the Clinton-Gore administration.
You know, and what gets me is, and you write about this, and I've told folks that I feel like with Doge, I'm always worried about talking about Doge because it's like some series on TV I like or a pair of tennis shoes I like. If I like it, it's going to be gone. It's going to be canceled. That I feel like it's going away because in the past, I would get excited about really any politician, especially presidential, talking about we are going to come in and right-size government. We're going to cut the waste. We're going to cut the fraud. And it never happened. I mean, to more than just giving it lip service. I mean, it was Lucy moves football, Charlie Brown goes to kick every time.
Well, and we've seen it this time go around with a lot of pundits saying, well, you know, what Doge is cutting is just a drop in the bucket. To which I respond in my column, that should terrify us. When
yes.
the most material reduction in the reach of the federal government from a fiscal standpoint is nothing but a drop in the bucket. We are in a bad place. And again, I am more than I am willing to hear any Democrat that tells me about any spending reduction that they would actually support. And I can tell you already what that looks like. They'll tell me, well, we need to have a committee and or a commission, and they need to study it. And we need to, and you've already lost me because I've already seen that show. I know what happens, and the answer is nothing. So unless you have a real way to rein in the federal government that is better than this and that results in actual change, you need to just accept that the federal government's become an overgrown hedge. And in this instance, it's not enough to trim it with the loppers. You got to break out the chainsaw, cut off some limbs, maybe back up that pickup truck, hook up the cable, and rip some things out. And that's where we are.
100%. Yeah, I said that to Jeff at the end of his show. I said, this latest column from Cameron is brilliant. And everybody knows that house. You talk about this. Everybody knows that house in the neighborhood that has gotten really grown up. And I mean, this is real world stuff. And then somebody buys the property and they're going to, and the people in the neighborhood are complaining, you know, look at that place. They let the stuff grow up. It's too, it's ridiculous. You can't even see the house. It's I'm sure there's coyotes in there, whatever, you know, they're complaining about. So then somebody buys it and goes in and actually does the thing that needs to be done. And those same neighbors, you see them, I can't believe they cut the camellia tree. I can't believe they cut this. Like, shut up. You complained forever that this thing was. And now, like you said, a new owner shows up one day with a chainsaw belching smoke, his mullet blowing in the wind. He fires up Freebird and the vines start flying. He's not worried about precision. He's not asking for permission. He starts cutting. That's, y'all think about that analogy. It's brilliant, Cameron. Brilliant.
Yeah, we all know that guy.
We do.
Some of us are that guy. And, you know, it may not always be pretty, but sometimes it needs to be done.
Somebody's getting work done. They're doing something about it. You know, that's the thing. And that, I mean, and then the same chin wagging that went on when before it was done, then they're like, I can't believe he's doing that. No, shut up. It needs done.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll to extend the metaphor, if you look at my hydrangeas and roses right now, they look like a bunch of sticks out of the ground. they don't look real good, you know? And I cut them way back. Why did I cut them way back? Because I know how I want them to grow. I'm in control of the way they grow, and I want to make sure they're healthy, that we're doing it the right way. And so I have game plan. We go through and we do this. And if you saw me cutting it, then you would probably say, whoa there, Tiger. Man, that's an extreme cut. but it makes the plant healthier. And I did the same thing with my Zoysiant. I set it on fire.
Yep.
And people were looking at me, is everything okay? What are you doing? And I said, well, every 5 years or so, I want to burn it down. And it is, you got to be real careful, just like a controlled burn in hunting land. Mm-hmm. And it makes people, they're like, well, but it's burnt and your yard is kind of charred right now. And I said, but you know what? Come spring, I'm going to have a healthier lawn. That's what's happened with the federal government right now. And again, you don't have to like it. You can point out that this is not precise, but again, show me something that will work, that's better, and I'll sign up for it. I bet you can.
You know, you didn't need to have any additional bona fides to being a country boy, but the fact that you burn your lawn gives me even more respect for you. Yes, if they didn't want this to happen, they being big government, Washington, they would have done the work beforehand, but they didn't. And you point this out, too, and I appreciate that, that Democrats don't ever see anything they don't want to spend on, but Republicans, too. You and I have talked about this for a decade. My frustration when budgets are passed, and it's not a game of reduction, it's a game of addition. Instead of saying, hey, Democrats, you're not going to get this expansion in government. And yeah, we're going to take a hit, too. It's going to hurt for us because we're not going to be able to spend on this, you know, defense program or whatever we want to do. We're both going to take a cut. That never happens. They say, well, we don't like your Democrat plan here, but if you'll let us spend money, we'll let you spend money. That's what it's been like my whole life.
Yeah, mine, too. And I use the analogy of it's like training English Ivy. And so you train it to the right or to the left, but it's still growing. And pretty soon that pretty ivy that looked like it was helping everything, it was making the house look pretty, covers up the whole house. It starts eating into the brick. It's pulling the surface of the brick off. It is, when you look at that house, it's just a green tangled lump. And that's what's happened to us. And we all know it. This isn't a partisan statement. It's just, what are we going to do about it now? And I think this approach, while it is unwieldy, while it is imprecise, is reducing the baseline. It is trimming the hedges way back. Is there a human cost? You bet.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something we have to accept of, hey, people are losing their jobs. They're having to find new jobs, and that's not just in the federal government. It's at those universities that were depending on that NIH gravy train. That there's going to be a lot of job loss here, but the flip side of that was those jobs were pretty immune for a long time to these cuts, to these changes, and the rest of us weren't. And nobody was sitting there saying, well, what about the job losses in the private sector? It was, oh, well, that's just part of the economy. Well, the federal government should be part of it, too, and this is just catch-up.
Yeah, and it is. Will it cut deeper than need be? Yes. Can you rebuild it? I think yes. In that, because I have to look at this. People will ask me about sacred cows. I have a great texter that always says, well, you're talking about your love for Doge. What about cuts for national parks and national forests and all that? Something, you know, getting me, you know, challenging me on something that I hold dear, my sacred cow. And I got to realize that it's going to hurt for all of us. It's the same way that, you know, I take the unpopular opinion. I know you're probably on the same page. I think we've talked about it. I don't believe in the Doge dividend. I want that to go to pay down the debt. I mean, sure, they're like, well, you don't want 5,000. Yeah, above 5,000 bucks. But more importantly, as a solvent republic.
Yeah, and Sean, let's just put a fine point on it. I saw what happened when we blew out COVID checks to everybody. It caused runaway inflation. Y'all yep. remember that? That
yep.
was like 5 seconds ago. So the fact that this is a Doge dividend, you can call it whatever you want. It is the government blowing out cash into the economy that is going to cause inflation. It is a terrible policy. And as much as I want $5,000, it is so bad for our country and economy to do that. We are so far overspending right now that any of that cutting, we just need to keep cutting. We don't need to pay anybody anything. We need to reduce the federal government. We need to create a new baseline because guess what? Just like those hedges I talked about, it's going to keep growing. So you might as well cut it back real hard, real fast over the next 2 years. And then that sets it and it's going to grow again and we're going to have to do it again. But frankly, I've only seen one set of politicians
mm-hmm.
Not a politician. I've only seen one politician that's been willing to do that, and that's President Donald Trump. And as critical as I've been of him on these things, his willingness to say, you know what, I'm going to do the hard thing here is praiseworthy, and we should acknowledge that.
Absolutely. I mean, neither of us are, you know, blind with blinders on for Trump. I tell folks I'm about 85% of the time I'm with Trump. I'm happy he's president. But nobody's had the stones to do this. They've all talked about it on the campaign trail. But Trump is the first to do this thing. And to the point, too, I enjoyed the fact that he said, I'm paraphrasing, but like, this is going to suck for a little while. You know, there's going to be a bad, you know, go ahead and get ready. This is going to be, but it's going to be so much better afterwards. I mean, that is refreshing to hear from a politician.
Yeah. And I appreciate it. Where you and I may differ a little bit is, we needed to do all the cutting immediately because he's going to get sued. They're going to try and stop him. He's got a 2-year window and really only a year in my estimation to really do the cuts, because then they're going to get tangled up in court. And my point is, we should probably do that first. The idea of starting this tariff trade war at the same time, I agree with him that it's going to stink. I think we're making it rough, much rougher than it has to be, by picking up the tariff mantle when we should just be focusing on the government cuts.
I think both of them need to be done. Like I said, I have started to lose my religion a little bit of my the Pontiff Friedman, you know, the acolyte that I was of his has started to melt a little bit. I still have a foot firmly placed in that world. But that's a whole conversation for another day. But this latest column, I don't want people that are, you know, important, provide important services to the American people that we believe in to be gone. But we're way past that. You got to go through so much fat before you even get in the neighborhood of bone on these cuts.
Well, we didn't even touch the meat yet.
No.
I mean, the fat and the excess here, this is office space. That's where we are. It's the Bobs. What would you say you do here? And folks have no idea. Well, I take the TPS report and we'd take it down the hall. Like, that level of silly. And that's where we are. And nobody's really been able to give a full-throated defense as to why we're doing it. Even Democrats who said, this is terrible, don't really, they're not answering those emails. They're not saying, here's what people do. And I think that's a great approach. We need to be on it. And, man, if we need to hire the Bobs, let's go do it.
Yeah, I would ask them in an interview. They'd say, well, this is terrible. So what's your plan to cut the deficit? What is your plan other than this? There's no other way to do it. And point out to them that, you know what, if you cut the deficit, you'll one day have some extra money to put into whatever ridiculous program you want to put it into. You know, but right now we're spending that, not just the $36 trillion of debt, but I know I'm obsessed on this, but I'm a one-trick pony on this. The interest, it drives me crazy. This, how much money we're spending in interest on this debt that goes to nothing but servicing debt. Duh.
Yeah, this is silly. I mean, this is silly, and we have so miles to go before we sleep, Sean. I mean, we have, when you're running average since COVID started, averaging $2 trillion a year deficit. Ugh. That's where we are. Then you have to literally cut $2 trillion just to get to base
to
level.
Even,
and
right.
And economic, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, if you cut $2 trillion, you're not actually putting anything to retiring debt. You're just not adding to it. And people just, that is a lost concept. And so I will take what I can get with Doge right now. I think, you know, let's go with the chainsaw. And if you got a better option, put it on the table. I'm happy to discuss. But go check out the column, folks, because we all know that mullet and chainsaw-wielding individual who gets after it on those ugly houses. And I frankly appreciate that guy.
I do, too. And I've put the story up on our Twitter feed, or y'all can go to the Tennessean and read it, or just go straight to the source. Where do they find you online?
At D. Cameron Smith on X. Join the conversation and holler at me.
All right. Good stuff, Cameron. Brother, great work. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, 12:25. There goes Cameron, and we're coming right back. Your calls and texts at 343-0106. Yeah, let Jackal take us to the break.
Woo! I'm born in the backwoods of a two-bit-no-a-town.
Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back, Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And I've got a second here for the news. Come back, Erica Thomas joins us. Oh, yeah, and I mentioned, you know, it's always, I don't care who's in the White House, Democrats, Republican. You get close to St. Patrick's Day. They're like, roll, get the Irish Prime Minister in here. Let's get him in here. Get him to do the river dance thing or whatever. Prime Minister Martin out of Ireland was meeting with President Trump earlier. Here's a little clip about the Rosie O'Donnell thing that came up. You heard Cameron say it. I said to play this clip. So here it is. This is a little back and forth. You have a reporter ask a question here at the beginning about Rosie O'Donnell moving to Ireland, and then you get the interaction from Trump and Prime Minister Martin.
Ireland is known for very happy, fun-loving people, great attitude, many in this room right now that I've met. Why in the world would you let Rosie O'Donnell move to Ireland? It's just going to lower your happiness level.
That's true. Thank you. I like that question.
Mr. Prime Minister, are you expecting? Are you expecting?
Do you know who she is?
Yeah.
I'm joking.
You better off not joking. You better off not knowing.
President Trump.
He doesn't know who she is. So that's good. And as Trump said, you're better off not knowing. So Rosie O'Donnell. But listen, I'll give Rosie this. Although I think what I saw last night is she's trying to get dual citizenship. You know, the Barbara Streisand thing where everybody says they're going to move if, you know, Trump wins or something like that. Well, at least, I mean, Rosie moved. Wonder what part of Ireland. A lot of people come from the extreme southwest. I mean, in Cork. I hope she didn't go to Cork. Maybe she's more of a Waterford. She probably likes Waterford better. Keep her out of Cork. The Corkers don't want her.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, and Midday Mobile. By the way, I did get a lot of texts from y'all. Our conversation we had about Doge and the analogy that Cameron put out, which was, I think, brilliant. The house in the neighborhood that is like overgrown. Like most of us pass one of those, right? And people in the neighborhood complain about that house. And then somebody comes in there and starts cutting all the stuff back and the trees back. And then there's going to be some of those people that complain before you know it. They're like, oh, I can't believe he cut the camellia. I can't believe that that's what's going on here. But I got your text. We'll talk about those later on in the show. Right now, center stage on the mic, as they say, our friend Erica Thomas from 1819 News. Hey, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Howdy. And a lot to talk about here. I guess the first one, this big story yesterday, and he will be a guest with me coming up here in about 25, 30 minutes. That was one-time police chief of the city of Mobile, Paul Prine, announcing that he's in for mayor of Mobile. A pretty big story, and now seven in the mix.
Yeah, there have been several announcements, but there hasn't been one quite like this. The energy and the support behind him was just, you could feel it yesterday at Government Plaza. I mean, there were dozens of supporters there standing behind him, chanting. They were very excited. The mood was great. And, of course, Paul Prine, people call him the people's chief, and now, you know, he wants to be the people's mayor. And I really feel like he has a chance to pull this one off. You know, he's been in the headlines. He has name recognition. He's been through a lot with the city. So people know who he is, and a lot of people trust him and love him.
He is also in a law. It is, makes it a little different. He's in a lawsuit with the city.
Yeah. I've been covering that lawsuit for a while, you know, but that's all surrounding his termination and kind of the process that the city went through to get to that termination. So, It's it's irrelevant to this mayoral race. It's
no, it, structurally it is, but I guess, you know, in the world of politics, it makes him different than other candidates, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, it's kind of why he is so beloved, because he came out on your show and just said, you know, his side of the story of what happened. He's been very honest and transparent, and I think that people see that in him, and he's grown support from that lawsuit.
Which is, I mean, there's the world of politics, because if you said that to a lot of people, they'd say, well, how does that help? I mean, we all realize how it helps now, but I mean, if you brought somebody in from Schenectady or Mars or, you know, somewhere like that, they go, why does that help?
Yeah, you wouldn't think. And in some cases, it might not. There might be some people that are like, well, he sued the city, so, you know, I'm not going to support him. But we'll just have to see how it all plays out, because that municipal election is coming up August 26th. And, I mean, I would say there could still be some more announcements.
Oh, I've been saying this for a long time, and finally it's starting to, you know, I was saying this back in October, that I think there's going to be more names in this mix. But I did say early on that the people that get in early have a better chance on fundraising, right? I mean, that by the time that, if you don't decide to get in till May and you're asking for money, there's probably been somebody in there before you that's asked for money, right? And then if, number one, somebody gave money to a candidate, number one, that they're not going to be wanting to fund something against themselves, right? I mean, if I gave to so-and-so for mayor, why do I want to give to the next person for mayor since I just put my money, you know, on that horse?
Yeah, and I have talked to some campaign consultants in the past. They always say it's better to get your name out there earlier. Not too early. You don't want to be the first, but, you know, you want to be, in order to grow your, especially if you're not very known, your name recognition and in your campaign fund. So you want to get out there kind of early. But I'm sure there's some bombshell, you know, announcement in May. So there's some people out there that they wouldn't have to do that.
The self-financed people, right. I've been waiting for the self-financed person. And you... Earlier we talked about that with but Maisel said no. There's some people that, you know, were asked already that could kind of be the people that could self-finance, and they said no. I mean, not that I know everybody out there. There's probably somebody out there I hadn't even thought of. But, you know, seven in now. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we're looking at 10 by the time qualifying is done.
Yeah, and that means, you know, more chances for a runoff. So we're looking not to even know who the next mayor will be until September.
Yep. I tell everybody, just to be honest, mercenaries like me, the more, you know, the more tumult, the better out there.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. This one caught my attention as well. It's been many years since I've heard about the Mobile Transit workers and their union. This has come up in the past, but now there was a big walkout went on yesterday. What was going on with this, with Wave Transit System?
Yeah, this was kind of crazy. I didn't even know this was going on at the time, but I was at Government Plaza. It was right after the Prime announcement, and this group of people, all dressed the same, walked in, and they were very upset. You could tell that they were, you know, worried about something. And so I just kind of leaned over, and I was like, what's going on? And it was the Wave Transit System workers. They had walked out yesterday morning. They were waiting to go into the city council meeting, which I also covered yesterday. And so I talked to them, and the union representative there said that, you know, they're tired of being spit on and treated bad and having to work in the conditions that they're working in. Now, it's important to point out that the transit workers are not employees of the city. But they are employed of the Wave Transit System, which contracts with the city.
So it is a separate, and that's a good piece of information I was reading through there. So they are their own entity, but they make a deal with the city to provide the buses and the drivers.
Yeah, and another interesting part of this whole setup is that the city owns the buses.
Okay, wait. Okay. Yeah. It did come up back in the day, but I had forgotten all about this. So the Wave Transit, separate company, contracts with the city, but the actual infrastructure of the buses are owned by the city.
Yes, and maintained by the transit system company. It's like a chessboard. I mean, I was trying to figure this out yesterday, and I was like, well, I've never heard of that. But, I mean, when you really think about it, it makes sense. The way transit system, they deal with the employees, the logistics, the routes, all that stuff.
Yeah, but the maintenance of the bus, I guess, I mean, they have a motivation to maintain the buses because they got to keep going with the contract. But it's, I always take it back to, like, if you loan somebody your four-wheeler, they're not going to treat it like you would. You know, like, hey, man,
well,
can I take it for the weekend?
Renting a house, yeah. It's like renting a house. If there's an actual hole in the roof and you're getting rained on, you might fix it. But if it's just a little saggy, you might.
Yeah, you're not going to do good. No, that's an even better analogy. Yeah, if you're renting a place, you're like, it doesn't matter. It's not mine.
Exactly. So, well, I've had neighbors that are renters. So
yeah, we've seen. So the drivers, the workers, are saying, and this is what has got my attention. I'd like to hear the rest of the story. Right, that they're being. Like you write here, complaints include being threatened and assaulted by riders and told not to call police when that happens, and then poor facility conditions. But, I mean, are they being – so they're being assaulted and then they're not making a case?
This is their claim, and they say that management has told them you can't call police when something happens, which would obviously be a violation of their rights.
Yeah.
So Preston Johnson, he's the general manager of the Wave Transit System. He actually showed up yesterday to the meeting, and he was sitting right beside me. The entire time I didn't know that he was in the council meeting sitting right beside me as I'm typing out this story. And he actually got up and told the council that all of these things, he's listened to all of these things. Some of them are true. Some of them are not true. He said one of the things that's not true is that he's never told anybody they can't go to police. And he said, you know, whatever the issues are, I'm willing to resolve them. And he told the council that contrary to what the employees were telling them, that he has talked to people who have come to him with concerns. But when he said that, the transit workers, you could hear them gasping, like they just did not, they couldn't believe that he said that. So I know there's some management issues for sure, because this would have never come to the council if there weren't. There's something going on. And so hopefully, because the city gives them $10 million, they'll get to the bottom of whatever's going on. And it's interesting, they said, you know, we give them this much money, so we're going to make sure that this problem is taken care of. And it kind of reminded me of, you know, when the city gives any entity money, they need to be held accountable for what's going on. And they need to hold people accountable. Kind of reminds me of the library issue.
Yeah, but more money, probably. I don't know what the library budget is, but I don't think it's $10
million. Well, I think when it's not your money and it's taxpayer money, you know, you have to be responsible with it and do the right thing either way.
Agreed. I would say...
It just reminded me of that, because I have heard them say they're not responsible for other entities.
Yeah, but if you finance it, correct. I mean, another part of this, too, is I wonder where the... You know, the library, you have some leverage if the libraries would close down. But the leverage of the Wave Transit Union, if they stop driving the buses, you'll hear a hue and cry. You know what I'm saying? They do have leverage.
Oh, definitely. Well, and the people, you know, they depend on those buses.
So I'm saying the second they don't run routes, they're going to, like you wrote, like William Carroll and other members of city council are going to hear from their constituents.
Yes, and he did yesterday. And every council member said they had not heard about this issue until that walkout happened. So we'll have to definitely keep an eye on what's going on there and watch the moves of this union.
I mean, back to and you said that the director said that didn't happen, but if it can be proven that you're told that even if you're assaulted, you're not allowed to tell law enforcement, I don't have the code in front of me here, but just 5 decades on the planet tells me that that's going to be a violation if that's true.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's like basic rights that people have. You, as an American, you can call law enforcement when something's done to you. You can't take that away from somebody. So, yeah, that would probably be a criminal and civil matter.
Yeah, it'd be pretty big. All right, Erica, these stories and a whole lot more you've got posted up over at 1819news.com. Tell folks who maybe just, I don't know, they've been under a rock, just moved to town, whatever. What the heck is 1819 News?
1819 News, we're a statewide nonprofit news organization, and our goal is to seek out the truth, and our motto is to rise to the moment of truth. So it's all about, you know, just telling the truth and telling the people of Alabama what they need to know. And also, we like to feature stories that are all about Alabama values.
Check them out. And Erica has a Twitter feed or X feed, but she doesn't remember it. But
I do. I actually tweeted today, so go check it out. It's at Erica T News.
There we go. Erica, have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 1252 FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. New inventory arriving today, you just told me?
Yeah, it should be here hopefully this afternoon or sometime tomorrow. It depends on what traffic does down in Florida and how to get it up here. But we've got quite a bit of stuff coming. We got a 2021 Volkswagen Tiguan coming. Good looking little small SUV. Got a real nice 20 Chevrolet Spark coming, which is a small, I think this thing makes gas while you're driving down the street. A couple of GMC Sierras, a couple of F-150s, and a couple of Ram trucks. So we got a good bit coming.
Okay. Flip side of this is if for some reason that's not the vehicle for people, which, you know, you've got a lot more than that on the lot, but this is something I've used personally, and I know a lot of folks out here in the listening audience have. They're looking for this car or truck or SUV. They got it in their mind. I walked in and started talking to you about a truck I wanted, and you had pictures, not only just like listings, you had pictures for me to look at within minutes. I mean, is that just for me or can everybody do that?
You're not special. We can do it for anybody. I had a buddy of mine that I went to high school with. I've sold him a few vehicles over the years, sold his stepson a vehicle the other day, and he texted me, said, I got a friend looking for a certain Lexus. And so I just emailed him four or five of them, you know, different colors, different models. And he's forwarded them to his friend, see if she's interested in any of them. If we can help her, we will. It's easy to do. I mean, we've been doing it for a long time, and we've got access to a ton of places. So if you just give us an opportunity, we'll show you what we've got. And I promise you'll like what you find.
Yeah, you'll realize a lot of y'all like what you find. Pull up at a stoplight and see the number of LCM vehicles at the stoplight or in the parking lot here at work. It's a whole bunch of them. There's a reason why. Tell folks how to find you.
We're at Highway 90 and Plantation in Theodore. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A. You can give us a call at 251-375-0068 or just go to the website, lcmmotorcars.com. As soon as all these new vehicles get in, we'll try to get pictures of them as quick as we can. If you got any questions about anything, give us a holler.
Thanks, David.
Have a good week.
Hey, you too. There's David McCrary checking in from LCF Motor Cars. Also, so many texts. This one made me laugh. A buddy of mine texted when we were talking about the Wave Transit buses and maintaining them. And maybe they do a great job, but it's just, you know, it's like lending your buddy your four-wheeler for the weekend. Oh, I'll take care of it, man. Or like Erica said, if you're renting a house, you don't do as much preventative maintenance, right, as if you own the house. And my buddy texted me, he said, what's the only kind of car that will go over a speed bump at 60 miles an hour? The answer is a rental. Poor rental cars. You see like, hey, I wonder what would happen if I ever did this. Well, that's what happens on rental cars, isn't it? My goodness. Let's see, more text here. And also a reminder that schedule-wise, here's what's happening, by the way, on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So Auburn's going to be playing, starting pregame at 11:30 on Friday, so it's going to cut into a little bit of Jeff Poore's show. Then that'll start. It's going to go the entirety of Midday Mobile. I will be at the boat show, and we're going to be doing Facebook Live. So make sure you you're following us on Facebook. We'll be doing Facebook Live. So while the Auburn game's going here on the station, we'll be Facebook Live from the boat show. Which the benefit of that as well is I'm going to be able to have some real long conversations with our guides are at the Guides Corner. And these are the best guides in the world of offshore, inshore, and freshwater fishing. They're going to be hanging out with me Friday and with Mike Ward and myself, and same thing on Saturday. We'll be on Facebook, so check it out there, or just come see it in person at the Mobile Boat Show opening up on Friday. All right, from the text line here, let's see. John says, absolutely agree. Okay, this conversation I was having with Cameron said, absolutely agree. If you're serious about paying down this crippling debt, why on earth would you act like a Democrat and give out free money? I know it. I know it's not popular. You know, the Doge dividend is very popular. Having an opinion against it is not. But that's how serious I take this. And I've been talking about this since we launched this station. This is a thing that's really important to me. It worries me greatly to have our nation as a it's so far in debt and to where the interest is on this. So, I'm going to forego the $5,000 Doge dividend if I'm making the rules. Now, if they're giving it out to everybody, of course, somebody would say, well, just send it back. I would like no one to get it. And also, I want to point out, too, that you talk about income redistribution. If you're a conservative and you don't like that idea, so the Doge dividend would be the same check for anybody, no matter what their tax implication was? Now, how is that? How is that analogous to? Makes no sense. Pay down the darn debt. I'm cleaning up my language here in Lent. Cleaning up the darn debt, please, out there, and we'll be a better republic for it. All right, coming back here in just a couple minutes. Former police chief, Mobile mayoral candidate officially as of yesterday, Paul Prine joins us. Your questions are getting some in on the text line. You can get them in at 343-0106, 343-0106. We'll be right back.